All right, we are back for another week of Yolitics. It is not just any week either, it's back to school week. Well, at least for a lot of people.
It is back to school week, and we have, arguably, my favorite guest.
Oh, it's not even arguable. This isn't even arguable.
My favorite guest, WFA's Dia Wall with us.
I call her the amazing Dia Wall.
She covers, among everything else, she covers education too.
Yeah.
Here in the newsroom at WFAA.
And that's not an easy beat either.
It's not at all, and it's a beat that a lot of people don't want to tackle. It's you know, intensive into data. There's all types of stuff, but somehow, working your crazy overnight shift, you still put out these information requests. You still get the data in. You're still talking to these top state officials. So welcome, Dia. Welcome back.
Thank you. Always happy to be with you guys.
It's been a while. And, you know, usually we have a beer with this podcast. We're not having one today because you're too highfalutin for us. You always demand like a Prosecco or whatever.
Correct.
When we're together. And we just couldn't do all that.
She demanded wine or she's not coming back. This will be her last episode.
I did.
If we don't have wine in the next one. So we'll have wine on the next one.
So you're here specifically. I mean, I know that you're doing back to school in general. You're speaking with all these different districts. But we want to focus in on Fort Worth ISD because you've been looking at them, because we got big changes coming to Fort Worth ISD as we start a new school year.
Yep. Earlier this year, I mean, common knowledge at this point here in North Texas, under state intervention, the Texas Education Agency decided to intervene after 5 years of an unacceptable rating on one of its campuses.
If you're living in Houston, this will sound very familiar to you. The state already took over there. If you're living in Austin, this might sound familiar. Sure. Because it's been rumbled that, you know, it's going to happen there. And if you're living anywhere else in Texas, this could happen in your district as well. The state has gotten very aggressive about this.
Yes, and the process is well underway. The superintendent, Dr. Peter Licata, has already been seated. We've met him. We've heard from him. He's been touring campuses and kind of enacting the first round of his batch of policies. And then the Board of Managers also announced. And so one of the things or areas that I felt like we hadn't really covered yet was sitting down with the new board chair, who is Pete Guerin. He is the CEO of the Sid W. Richardson Foundation, a fixture in Fort Worth. He's been in that role for the last 16 years.
He's been around for a while.
Yeah. Yes, and one of the major priorities for that foundation is education, in particular K-12 public education.
So wait a minute, when he was appointed then to head all of this up, I mean, people were up in arms, as they have been in other places where the state has taken over, saying, no, you're not going to come in here and just wipe out our local school board and have, you know, the state making decisions and appointing your own people or whatever. What happened, though, as far as the temperature in Fort Worth when he was appointed? You're not going to make everybody happy, but what happened when he was appointed?
You know, the process in Fort Worth went like it did in Houston, a lot of other places. Nobody wants to see the state come in and take over its school district. It has to be a really dire situation. And I think that there were different schools of thought over how they got there, but also the path forward. Dr. Karen Molinar had a lot of support, but ultimately the Texas Education Agency decided we're going to go ahead and intervene.
She's the former superintendent.
She's the former superintendent. Sure. In Fort Worth. And obviously tensions were really high. The new superintendent in Fort Worth ISD was not necessarily a known commodity here in North Texas, but there was a lot of just angst around mm-hmm. the Board of Managers, who would be selected to kind of keep that superintendent in check, keep the district on track. But once the names came out, guys, as somebody who covers education, these are people that I know. These are people that I have talked to. These are experts and people who have had a vested interest and been supporting Fort Worth public schools for a really long time. And Pete Guerin is one of those.
And the Board of Managers, for people who might not be familiar with that term, is the school board, essentially. It's this new school board. But not long after this new board was seated, Republicans and Democrats had no complaints about this. They said this is a good reset for Fort Worth ISD.
The board is diverse politically. They are diverse in the areas of the city where they do the most of their like civic and community engagement. It really is a well-rounded Board of Managers when you talk about the makeup of the city of Fort Worth and Fort Worth ISD. To answer your question, Wheels, it just brought the temperature down. Mm-hmm. It felt like, okay, well, this is one big rock in the bucket that can maybe be a stabilizing force. And I think people felt like we got some allies on our side who are familiar with not only the people of Fort Worth, but the challenges that they face.
And this president of the board here, he believes in literacy, in reading being a civil right, as he calls it. and he's had a lot of work in that area. How crucial is that for Fort Worth ISD in particular? Because reading has been an issue. Literacy is a big issue.
Literacy, you guys, is an issue across the country. Yeah. It's an issue in the state of Texas. It's an issue in North Texas. It does not matter if you are in the most affluent district. It doesn't matter if you are in the poorest district. Literacy is a huge problem. So Pete Guerin, the Sid Richardson Foundation, supports an organization called Go Beyond Grades. What they do is they have toolkits for both parents and teachers. And the statistic that they tout right there on the homepage is that 90% of parents think their kids are at grade level. Only 30% of them are correct. Only 30% of kids are reading grade level.
Wait, so
proficient
that,
in math at grade level, yeah.
So that site, though, that you're talking about, can you say it again? And it actually has a tool for a parent.
Yep.
Because you may not know, your kid may be getting A's and B's, but really not be up to grade level with reading.
And that was the rub. Parents say, hey, my kids are getting all A's and B's. And so you assume that they're reading on grade level, that their math proficiency is at grade level and where it's supposed to be. It could not be further from the truth. That website, anybody can go to. It is just Go Beyond Grades. And just look at it. Look at the questions it tells parents to ask. If you're an educator and you're interested in going deeper beyond some of these MAP scores, you know, the way we assess students in the state through testing, go on the website and look. I mean, some of that data will really be revolutionary. And so the Sid Richardson Foundation has made investments into data, into research, into really looking at literacy. Fort Worth has a huge population of students where English is their second language. Mm-hmm. And so this has always been a focus area for Pete Guerin and that foundation in particular. And one of the things that he kind of cited, 50% of students who get an A are on grade level when it comes to their literacy.
Wow, just 50.
And it just goes down the further down the scale of letter grades you go. So the letter grades do not tell the full story. And if parents don't take anything else away, educators, administrators, that's it. You gotta go beyond an A, B, C, D. And on the literacy piece, if we are graduating students out of schools here in the state, if you are not literate as a parent, you're more likely to live in poverty. Your child is more likely to live in poverty. Your grandchildren are more likely to live in poverty. And that's what he talks about as a human right and a civil right and something that affects all of us.
So here we are at the beginning of a new school year for Fort Worth ISD. There seems to be some agreement that we're in the right spot to reset everything. But then there's this other stat, which is the crux of this episode, that if things are so great, why are so many teachers leaving the district? Let's talk about that, because the numbers seem pretty large.
I think Fort Worth came out and said about 1,000, a little more than that.
1,000 teachers.
So vacancies.
1,000 vacancies total.
Staff and
teachers. Right, so staff and teachers. So as parents are sending their children back, this month here, they may not be going back into a school or a classroom where they know the teachers or remember the teachers or know that they're going to have someone who is experienced.
And some of them may not have a certified teacher.
Sure.
Yeah, now that's something that, again, when you track and look at and report on education for a long time, you start to see some of those same things come up. So a year ago, the Texas Education Agency always issues an annual report on the state of education in Texas, and they cited unlicensed teachers as the number one threat to students in this state. In fact, the number one determinant of whether your child is going to be successful in a classroom is the teacher in it.
Mm-hmm.
And they found out through a lot of data, a lot of research, post-COVID, those standards were relaxed. I don't know how many folks out there remember, there was just this mad dash to get teachers in the classroom because there were so many vacancies post-pandemic. They saw the effect on our kids in these classrooms when you have teachers who haven't studied the profession, right? They don't know some of the best practices. And even sometimes just the material, just being able to not only articulate with the students, but having a command of those subjects. And so now Fort Worth, I think the number, and I need to go back, I should have been prepped with this exact number, but about 30% of the teachers that have filled those vacancies are unlicensed. So it'll be interesting to see how Fort Worth comes in to manage that. The state's put extra dollars into like training and support and mentorship programs for unlicensed teachers. But that's still the most significant and most impactful position in any school
and
building.
And you say unlicensed. These are teachers who are not certified, haven't gotten the certification,
yep.
right? But in fairness to them, there are some of these teachers, especially we saw during COVID, who have tremendous life experience or tremendous professional experience.
And they're going through the process,
that
too.
They can take, exactly, they can take in the classroom. But getting back to the crux of the episode here, why does Fort Worth ISD have so many vacancies, job vacancies right now?
Jason, if somebody came to you and said, the leadership here is failing.
Was there another F word you almost
used? If they came in here right now.
That was a good pivot, by the way. We didn't have to edit that one.
if
you're watching this, go back and just back up about 10 seconds.
You can see her mind, the wheels spinning.
I'm trying to stay in.
The F went to a different vowel after that. You saw it, didn't you, Wheels?
I saw it.
But let's keep it all the way real, y'all. If somebody came to us right now and said, we don't love the leadership here of Yolitix, we're going to bring somebody down from Austin. They're going to decide who should lead you. They don't know you. They don't know the ins and outs. They don't know the challenges we face. They don't have the backstory of how crazy both of them are. So that creates a lot of anxiety.
Yeah,
Houston saw the same. There is always a mass exodus of sorts when state intervention takes place. How you recover and rebound from that is, you know, the real story. And while you say life experience, and this is not to discount teachers who come from like non-traditional backgrounds, there are people who have a lot of interest and knowledge and life experience when it comes to politics. They're not political journalists.
Right.
Education is a discipline, fellas. You need classroom management. There's just all kinds of education that goes in to make sure that you not only know your material, but that you know how to teach well. And so I think sometimes we conflate the two. Y'all know this better than me. We're in this age of anti-intellectualism, and we think all experience is equal, and it's not.
Right.
Yes, some of these teachers are working toward those certifications, but I'm gonna tell you right now, if it's my kid, the data reflects it, the outcomes reflect it. I want my kid in the classroom with the most experienced licensed teacher.
But how is Fort Worth ISD spending this 1,000-person vacancy?
They have done yeoman's work, and you gotta give credit where credit is due. They filled it.
Yeah.
When we talked to Mike Morath, who is the commissioner of the Texas Education Agency, Fort Worth ISD, despite 1,000 vacancies, is going to start this school year with zero. They were able to fill all the positions. Time will tell on what those outcomes look like, and we can probably talk about that a little bit later, but they filled them.
Well, I want to ask you this because you got this exclusive interview. This is the first time that we've heard from this, you know, the guy who's heading up the Board of Managers there in Fort Worth. Nobody else has gotten him. And he said something that I thought was really interesting and that I think voters, you know, will want to, you know, dig into as well. Some already have been. Let's take a quick listen here to Pete Guerin, who again is heading up the Board of Managers there at Fort Worth ISD that has been appointed by the state.
They're not politicians. They don't have to run for office. They don't have to raise money. They don't have to curry relationships with vendors or donors. They got one focus. They have one focus, and that's the kids, improving student outcomes. That's the only reason they're doing it.
All right, so he's talking about the board there and how they don't have any other conflicts. It's just about the kids. They don't have to worry about, you know, any of this other. True, perhaps, and we're certainly not questioning anybody's motivations, but the point has also been made that they also don't have to worry about the voters. Usually a school board member has to worry about the voters because they're held accountable in elections. This one won't be.
I don't want to take away from the fact that these are all people in the community who raise their hands to do an unpaid job and
Absolutely.
A really hard one. But at the same time, we live in a democracy. So as much faith and optimism and hope as you may have for this Board of Managers, if you don't like what's happening, if you don't like what's going on, you really don't have any recourse.
There's no voting them out.
Correct.
Well, there's none right now while the takeover is going on. After the takeover, of course, there will be people who can run for these positions again. But who knows how long the takeover is going to last.
I mean, look at Houston.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
There's no end date.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is also one of the kind of scary things for people who are connected to Fort Worth ISD, Houston ISD, other school districts under state intervention is that you don't know how long this is going to go.
Last thing. So now these people are accountable, though, ultimately to Mike Morath. You've talked to him many times.
Yes. He is the, again, commissioner of the Texas Education Agency. And I always joke with Mike that he is the most powerful unelected person in the state. There are 5.5 million kids in Texas public schools. You can't vote him out. You don't like what he's doing. Even if you call your state rep, they don't have the power to get rid of them.
No.
It's
he's appointed
governor.
As well.
Appointed
Correct.
By the governor.
Appointed by the governor.
Sure.
Correct. So he holds a lot of power and a lot of cards in his hand. When I asked him, you know, what's going on with these vacancies in Fort Worth, and how does this look, and how does that look ahead of the new school year? His response is, hey, it's not my job to call balls and strikes for the duration of these nine innings. He wants to look at the box score at the end.
Sure.
His goal is to let the process work for a year, and he said talk to him a year from now, and that's when he's going to assess what's working and what's not.
Yeah, here's a little bit more of what he had to say about that.
At the state level, my responsibility is to appoint that leadership team and then let them do their work, but I need to judge them on outcomes. So we'll look at the results of the first year, which will be about a year from now, and see. But all indications that we have right now are that the operational changes they're making are going to be very positive for kids in Fort Worth.
So we'll see. We'll see how positive this is for the kids of Fort Worth. Again, this is a process where you've got to have that lag time. You've got to be able to look back at the data. So he's saying, give us a year. Let's see how this goes. But for anybody out there who hears a year and goes, well, you know, we can't wait a year to figure this thing out, they're actually looking to move very quickly there in Fort Worth.
Yeah, that's one thing, you know, Pete Guerin mentioned in our interview, is that they want to move quickly. There's a sense of urgency that they can't sit around and be lackadaisical about how they are going to implement changes. That's why you saw them come out and say, from an instructional perspective, this is how we're going to move. And that may be why some of the teachers you saw said, okay, I'm going to bow out. Like, I don't have the stomach for this, or I'm not aligned with what this looks like. He said that their convocation, well, they had like an administrator training, maybe like a convocation, similar, but they do that for campus leadership oftentimes before the school year. And they said, there's this deep sense of urgency. We got to move now. The first day is important. The first 10 days are important. They want to see measurable results. And I think a lot of reputations have been staked on this. I think a lot of folks came out and sounded the alarm about what was happening in Fort Worth ISD. And I think everyone wants the same thing. Everyone wants to see them be successful. The journalist in me, would love a mid-year review, but it looks like we're going to have to wait for a year.
Well, there's still skepticism, you found out.
There's still skepticism, though. Yeah. And we got a lot of that from Stephen Poole, the executive director of the United Educators Association, which is a professional organization. They have a lot of teachers in their organization there in Fort Worth. And, you know, he said, like everybody else, they're pulling for this. Man, they really want this to work. Yeah. But he's not feeling good about this going into this school year. Here he is.
Stephen, thanks so much for being with us to talk about what's going on there in Fort Worth. You're the executive director, as we said, of United Educators Association. Can you talk about how big of a presence you all have there in Fort Worth ISD and what it is that you all do?
Sure. We're an educator association actually based here in Fort Worth, and we have over 5,000 educators at Fort Worth ISD as members. We have 26,000 in the North Texas area, and Fort Worth ISD is the largest district that we actually deal with.
Okay, so the state is feeling good about this upcoming school year. They think that, you know, from their perspective anyway, things are looking good as far as the state takeover there in the district. From where you sit, how is this looking as we go into this brand new school year?
Yeah, they've made a lot of changes quickly, and it's become actually a little chaotic on the campuses. Teachers aren't hearing directly from the superintendent or the chief of schools, so information is just being shared amongst teachers, amongst campuses. And so with that kind of a communication style, there's a lot of misinformation, and this misinformation right now is actually building mistrust.
Okay, so wait a minute. So is that a rollout issue? Is that a cultural issue? And how much does that diverge from the way things have usually run?
Yeah. You know, Fort Worth ISD has had its flaws over the years. It's not a perfect district and never has been. But what all the changes they're doing so quickly without that communication behind it, a lot of people just want to understand the why behind the changes, and they're not getting a lot of information. It's coming directly, like I said, from teacher to teacher, from campus to campus. And again, it's not always correct information. So a lot of them are just waiting and wanting more information directly from the superintendent or board of managers about some of the changes they're making.
And that's an interesting point that you're making there, because we're so close to the start of a school year here. How does that affect a teacher's preparation when we're going into a brand new school term and they don't feel like they're up to speed on these things?
You know, teachers want to plan. They're natural planners. So they've been thinking about the start of the school year, the first week, the first month since school was out. So with changes and making last minute changes by the administration, it throws them into a lot of anxiety. So that's what we're hearing from a lot of our members, is just all the changes so sudden right before the beginning of school has created that anxiety.
Okay, so you know, you work with so many teachers there in the district of Fort Worth, and you all obviously have a close relationship, generally speaking, with the district as well. There's a complication here because now you've got to have that relationship with the state that has taken over that district. What is that relationship like right now? Is it a two-way relationship? Is there a relationship, and how's that going?
Yeah, a lot of new faces in Fort Worth, so we're working to develop those working relationships. But I've told a lot of our members and our leaders of our association, this is not Fort Worth ISD anymore. This is TEA ISD. This is what the state wants for Fort Worth, not what they're used to in Fort Worth. So the administration, the Commissioner of Education, Mike Morath, can say, hey, Fort Worth hasn't performed. We need to try something new. Yes, we need better for our students. But they're not coming in respecting anything of Fort Worth.
So we've seen the reporting that says that Fort Worth ISD lost more than 1,000 staffers total. That's not all teachers, staffers total since the TEA takeover. Have we seen the worst of this yet? Do you anticipate that there are going to be more people leaving the district? And when might we see that and why?
Yeah, if Houston's any indication, it was year two of the takeover in Houston where we saw a mass exodus of teachers. Now, Fort Worth teachers benefit from what Houston teachers experience. They saw, they know what is coming. That's why over 1,000 left this past school year. But I do think that we're actually going to see more resignations to come, and unfortunately, a lot of mid-year resignations. I've talked to three teachers alone today who are asking how they can submit their resignations today based on what they experienced yesterday and today. So I do believe that there will be more resignations to occur, and Houston's our guidepost.
Okay, so there's a couple of threads we need to pull on there. You talked with several who wanted to know specifically how they could submit resignations right now before the school year has begun based upon what they experienced today and yesterday. Can you talk about what they experienced?
Sure. The district started rolling out through their professional development the expectations of every classroom throughout the district. A lot of the people I've talked to are veteran teachers with excellent student success in their classrooms, and they just fundamentally disagree with what the state is now requiring them to do. It's very structured, very rigid. And if you talk to any teacher, you will understand a big part of teaching is an art. And they feel that they're being constrained and asked to do something that they believe is not good for students. So the administration is going to point out that it was successful in Houston and there was gains, but there's a push-pull there between the teachers and what the administration wants. And that's what I've talked to teachers about this the last couple of days, the ones who just disagree with now what the expectation is for their classroom.
And correct me if I'm hearing this wrong here. Are you saying that some of them are saying that this is more like teach by script, like you're being forced to do it in a very rigid certain way and you can't go outside of those bounds? Is that what I'm hearing here?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It is a scripted curriculum and it's actually timed. So their class schedule is actually broken down by minutes to spend on different sections of either instructional delivery or reteach. So it is that rigid with the expectation that they will comply with those exact scripts and the exact times. Otherwise, you could be looking at a bad evaluation, employment decisions made based on your non-compliance. So a lot of them have just decided this isn't for me. But unfortunately, that decision is now being made just a little over a week before students report back.
Yeah, another thread I wanted to pull on there that you mentioned was that you think that we're going to see some mid-year teachers just throwing in the towel and saying, I don't want to do this, I resign, I'm out of here. That can be especially disruptive. I mean, we're talking about right now some teachers that you're talking to who want to leave right before school starts, which is its own challenge for the district. Talk a little bit about how disruptive things could get if we start seeing teachers walk in the middle of a school year.
It's extremely disruptive. Students need that routine. Classrooms need that structure. And if a teacher does resign mid-year, usually it's a substitute that's just placed into that classroom, and all that structure and all that routine goes out the window. But it's not just teachers either. If you look at what occurred at Houston, Houston ISD started walking out principals mid-year. So just think, if it's one classroom because a teacher left, but think of an entire school if principals are walked out like they were in Houston. So I think we're going to see a lot of change, not only before the beginning of school, but a lot of personnel changes as the school year goes on.
Can you talk a little bit about morale right now? Because, you know, in any organization, when you have a big change at the top and you've got a new regime in place, there are going to be people who fight back against that, who don't want that, who would rather leave than deal with that. But you might have people also who go, hey, it was time for a change. I'm ready to see what these people bring, or I'm excited about this. If you had to typify, though, what morale looks like on a global basis there as you are talking with people in the district, where would you put that?
Yeah, you know, teachers are just optimistic by nature. They're hopeful. They're excited for the start of the school year. But as more changes occur, especially changes that they may fundamentally disagree with, it just builds anxiety, and that is a damper on morale, too. So what should be a very exciting time, and for a lot of people, it is an exciting time because Fort Worth did need changes, but then, you know, they're just having to internalize all of these changes, and sometimes that creates that anxiety.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned at the top here what a big presence you all have there in Fort Worth ISD, but also in so many other school districts here in North Texas. What was that dynamic like leading into this school year when you started looking at those other districts? Did you see them actively recruiting teachers from Fort Worth ISD, knowing that so much change is going to bring a shakeup and you might be able to actually poach some teachers who, you know, have great expertise and who have a real pedigree?
Yeah, I actually worked with a lot of superintendents and HR directors in surrounding districts, encouraged them to either hold specialized job fairs for Fort Worth teachers or to accelerate their hiring to get some of these teachers that we knew were going to leave Fort Worth ISD, and they did. I'm going to use Birdville ISD as an example. They usually didn't start hiring teachers until May once they knew what their resignations would look like, but they authorized their principals to start hiring in February, and they captured so many of great Fort Worth teachers that are now going to the Birdville School District. But every district around here took advantage of these Fort Worth teachers wanting to leave the state takeover and really aggressively went after the teachers, encouraging them to apply. Castleberry, which is just a stone throw away from Fort Worth ISD, actually marketed to Fort Worth teachers that they were Fort Worth proud and locally controlled. If that's not a shot across the bow, I don't know what is, but that was very effective. Districts got very smart in recruiting Fort Worth teachers.
You know, one of the things that we may not see like we saw when the state took over Houston ISD is, in that case, it seems like we were seeing a lot of the educators who were leaving being replaced by teachers who weren't quite certified yet. We're not seeing that same phenomenon in Fort Worth, though.
We're seeing more uncertified teachers for this coming school year than Fort Worth has had in the past several years. So it's not to the extent Houston did. At one point, one out of every five teachers was uncertified. That's astronomical. But in Fort Worth, it's not to that point yet. But they are replacing some of those good teachers who left with uncertified teachers. But it isn't to the extent Houston is. Now, there's a state law that constrains that. By 2030, all school districts in the state cannot have uncertified teachers in core content subjects. So that does hamstring Fort Worth some in hiring, because eventually they will have to replace them with certified teachers. Mm-hmm. So they did get a lot of applicants in Fort Worth. $100,000 salary attracts a lot of eyes to jobs. But again, we will have more uncertified teachers in Fort Worth this coming year than they did in previous years.
Okay, so but in many of those cases, they've been able to replace. It sounds like all or most of the teachers who have left, and they've been able to replace a large percentage of them with certified teachers. How does curriculum or how does the classroom experience change going forward? If you lose a lot of teachers who have been there for a long time in Fort Worth ISD, but you replace them with largely certified teachers, is there going to be a big drop off? Is it something that parents should be aware of that is going to be noticeable for their students?
Yeah, a lot of these parents who are sending their children to schools actually went through those schools too. There are generations that go through some of our schools here in Fort Worth, and some of those teachers taught the parents and the children themselves. They'll miss those kind of faces. We're hoping that every classroom has a certified teacher in Fort Worth ISD. The students of Fort Worth deserve nothing less than that. And so I think there's going to be change. Parents will feel that change just as they did in Houston. Because not only did Houston teachers leave the district, parents started pulling their students out of Houston ISD. So that's what I'm also expecting to see this coming year and in future years in Fort Worth, that the declining enrollment Fort Worth ISD has already seen is going to accelerate because of a lot of the changes in scripted and structured classroom that parents may disagree with.
So do you expect that to accelerate dramatically, for instance, in this first year where we'll see enrollment really declining substantially?
Yeah, you know, a lot of teachers said, I'm going to give it a year. I'm going to try it a year. I can do this a year. I want to see what it's, the change is all about. I want to see if it improves. And I think a lot of parents are kind of dancing around that, too. They're going to give an opportunity to see if they see improvement in their own child's education. But if they do see chaos, if they do see turnover like they did in Houston, if they see favorite programs or field trips being curtailed because of this new requirement, then that's when parents are going to start taking a look at other options. Not only do they have homeschooling or private schools or charter schools, they also now have possible voucher money attached to some of the tuition for private schools. So this is a perfect storm for Fort Worth ISD. They're going to have to get it right. And they're going to have to assure parents that it is exactly what the students need and that they're improving. Otherwise, we're going to start seeing parents taking kids out of Fort Worth schools.
Stephen, can you connect some dots for us here, though? If we start to see, as you expect, an acceleration in disenrollment from Fort Worth schools, can you talk about the long-term effect of that? Because that's not a ship that you turn around quickly.
Yeah, you can't really recover. It is almost a death spiral once the accelerated student enrollment increases, just because funding is tied to student enrollment and student attendance. So if parents are taking their kids in somewhere else other than Fort Worth schools are going to get less money from the state, which means less teaching positions and less also what extracurricular or other kind of topics, subjects being offered to students other than the core required subjects. So it's a lot of those extracurricular activities that not only attract people into Fort Worth, but keep them into Fort Worth. Not everyone is an A and B student. They're looking at all these other programs of choice that Fort Worth can offer. But if they're losing money and having to cut positions and cut programs, that's also going to accelerate parents taking their kids out and moving them to other options other than Fort Worth Public Schools.
And worst case scenario, you also then see a district starting to have to make tough decisions like, you know, more school closures and that sort of thing, if that really does start to accelerate at the pace where you're expecting it to, which has real long-term consequences.
Yeah, Fort Worth's already closed 8 or 9 schools already, and there are more planned to be closed. But you're exactly right. If enrollment continues to decline, we're going to see more school closures. One thing that I always tell everyone, Houston is our guidepost. Everything Houston experienced, Fort Worth is about to experience. But one of the interesting things that happened in Houston is, I think it was year 2 of the takeover, the Houston Board of Managers called a $4.4 billion bond for school improvements and school safety infrastructure. The community rallied against that, not because they didn't think the students in the schools deserved it, but they used that as a referendum on the state takeover and the changes, and they defeated that bond overwhelmingly. The state takeover in Houston broke the community trust. So that's something to keep an eye on in Fort Worth. Right now, I think there's a lot of let's just wait and see if there's improvement because there needs to be improvement. But it's that community trust that's important, that parents' trust in the schools that are extremely important. Break either of those, and Fort Worth will not be able to recover from this for decades on out.
You've mentioned several times here that obviously improvements did need to be made there at Fort Worth ISD. It sounds like that is a point of agreement that the state would have with you, because they have been telling us that the status quo was obviously not working when you have failing schools and so forth there in the district. Is this something that couldn't be avoided, or is there another way out that should have been pursued here?
You know, there's not a single person in this community that disagrees that students need better outcomes in Fort Worth schools. We're all in agreement there. But what I will reject is the notion that if you disagree with the state takeover, replacing elected board members with unelected board of managers, or if you disagree with the tactics of the state takeover, then you're against improving students' outcomes. That is absolutely not true, and I will reject that notion. Student outcomes are important. How we get there, we can disagree respectfully, and there's a lot of disagreements on how we get there. And I think that's ultimately where the friction comes into play. It's not that student outcomes need to improve. Let's talk about that. Let's diagnose it. Let's find out a way to improve it. But just because someone may disagree with the takeover doesn't mean they want nothing less but the best for students.
You've mentioned a couple of times here the idea of an elected school board versus an unelected one. As it stands now, of course, this is a state-appointed board of managers there for Fort Worth ISD. It is no longer a board that is answerable to the citizens directly through voting. Have you been hearing from a lot of people about that?
Yeah, absolutely. That was the biggest contention when the takeover occurred, that you're going to replace elected board members with an unelected board of managers. They are not accountable to the community at all. They're only accountable to Mike Morath, the Commissioner of Education in Austin. He's the one that appointed them. He can also replace them whenever he chooses to do so. And we saw that in Houston. Last year, four of the nine board manager members voted against the budget in Houston. And shortly after, all four were replaced by Mike Morath. So that is just a big tell right there, that the board of managers are dancing to the tune that Mike Morath plays. And if they don't, they will be replaced.
We heard from the new president there of the Fort Worth Board of Managers for the school district. He touted that this is a way to take politics out of decisions that are being made by the district. He says, you know, yeah, we're not elected, which also means that we're not beholden to certain vendors. We don't have to please donors and run campaigns and fund those campaigns. And so we're actually taking politics out of the decision-making process. And I'm curious what your thought is about that.
Well, if it's good in this situation, why do we have an elected governor? Why do we have an elected president? That same argument can be made. Politics is found in every level of government, city, state, national. So that argument doesn't hold a lot of weight, in my opinion. That is the nature of democracy. You stand and run on the ideas and convince the community that you're the one to lead. These unelected boards, even though Mr. Guerin and the other board of managers are very fine representatives of the community of Fort Worth, they're not elected. So if he's wanting to say this is a model to get politics out of our schools, then we could say that about the state legislature. The state legislature has a lot more influence on our public schools in a lot of ways than our own elected school boards locally do.
Let's talk about HISD one more time here, because a lot has been said about, you know, the state's takeover there in the schools in the state's largest school district. But then, you know, we've heard these results touted that, you know, some things have really improved. Some of these campuses that were doing so poorly are doing better. We're seeing more A and B graded campuses in Houston. What do you say to the thought that, you know, this appears to work if you look at it on paper and see some of the metrics?
Yeah, there's no doubt Houston has seen gains, and good for them. But it's not sustainable. I call it a sugar rush. It's a temporary gains. It is not sustainable in the long run, and there's three reasons why it's not sustainable. The constant churn of personnel at the school level keeps it from being sustainable long-term. You need that stability. You need that institutional knowledge, and they have not accomplished that in Houston. So absence of all of this direct intervention, it's going to eventually wear off because of the turnover. The second is that community trust is broken that I mentioned before. You need strong community support of your schools to be successful long term. They don't have that in Houston. And then third, it takes a lot of money for what the state intervention calls for. You look at the Elevate campuses in Fort Worth or the NES schools in Houston, there is millions of dollars poured into these schools. But down in Houston, they have adopted a deficit budget every year under the takeover. For this coming school year, it's a $25 million deficit. A school year 2 years ago, it was $250 million. So a district will run out of money, and the state is not funding our districts properly. So a district will run out of money and cannot sustain these programs. So that's why I say it's a temporary sugar rush. They did get the results, and good for them. But it is not, in the long run, something that can be sustained either in Fort Worth or currently here in Houston.
So what you're saying there is you can surge in a lot of money for things like this, but when you turn the reins back over to the local officials and the local district, there's no way that they can sustain that kind of push with money because it's just not there.
Yeah, Houston slashed their central administration to be able to afford these programs, but they've cut to the bone. There is no more cuts to really be made in Houston, and they're still adopting deficit budgets. So what does that just tell you? And that they're looking for short-term gains, willing to bet the future of the district and the financial health on the district by adopting these deficit budgets. Fort Worth's in the same boat, I think.
Yeah, I was just going to say the last thing I have for you here is, you know, I know you have a lot of concerns going into this school year. It sounds like a fair number of folks you've talked to there in the district do as well. I'm sure all of you are probably hoping this time around that you're absolutely wrong and that this turns out to be a wonderful thing and really creates a big success. What are the chances that you think that happens?
That's what Fort Worth needs. Our students deserve improvement. So the quicker that our schools and student performance can improve, the quicker that state takeover will end. That's an interesting thing to say, but that's the reality of the situation. We all want what's best for students, and that's improvement. So I hope this takeover is successful. I hope it is something that is sustainable for the long term. But I'm cautiously optimistic just because I've seen what has occurred in Houston. And they say they're not Houston ISD, but they are taking the exact Houston playbook and overlaying it here in Fort Worth. So whatever we're seeing in Houston as results and long-term effects, we're seeing that here in Fort Worth right now. Hmm.
Stephen Poole, Executive Director of the United Educators Association. Thanks so much for being here with us. And this is something I think all of us are going to have to keep an eye on as we go into this school year. And not only, you know, those of us here in North Texas, obviously, but I would imagine that a lot of districts around the state are keeping an eye on these things because we've been seeing these state takeovers in a number of places.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Austin ISD is now staring down the prospect of a takeover itself. This is expanding, but thank you for the opportunity today. I really do appreciate it.